A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God may be made manifest in him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone who acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see.' So your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, these stories in St. John's Gospel because he gives all this detail that the other Gospel writers often don't give. You know, St. Mark's Gospel is just often a bare bones of these stories, but St. John gives us all this rich detail, even the kind of sarcasm that the man born blind uses against the Pharisees. Now, this is amazing. You don't know where he comes from. But, you know, the Alleluia verse was, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me does not walk in darkness, but has the light of life. And I think all throughout this passage in the gospel, we have this playoff on coming into the light from the darkness of blindness, no? And even that self-imposed blindness, no, that we're also often guilty of. And then in that letter that St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he takes up the same theme. Brothers and sisters, you were once in the darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. I think that's the challenge for us, right? To realize that we've been given the light of life, and now we have to live in that light and avoid the darkness, avoid the shadows, avoid the places where sin takes us and that self-deception takes us. And I was thinking about this because, you know, St. Paul's writing to these Ephesians, and they were previously pagans, right? And now he says, you've left that darkness behind and you've come into the light. A few days ago, I was watching some Protestant preacher on a YouTube video he made. And he was going over that, remember that really tragic, horrible nightmare of a scene a few years back in Egypt where radical Muslims had captured, kidnapped these 21 Christian construction workers, and they wanted them to renounce their faith in Jesus. And these are just regular guy, construction worker guys, you know. I suppose they're like any construction worker here. No, just Egyptian. And they were Coptic Christians, which is a branch of the church. And they brought these guys out onto a beach. And they were all wearing orange jumpsuits. And they made them kneel down. And the 21, behind the 21 were 21 Muslims with knives, and they were dressed all in black, kind of like ninjas or something, you know. And you see that scene, and there was one guy there dressed in camo uniform, you know, and he was the head of it. He was given the orders. And a horrible scene that develops is they order them to renounce their faith, and they all shout out, have mercy on us, Jesus. And they wouldn't renounce their faith, and then the radical Muslims took out the knives and beheaded each of the guys right there on the shore, and you could see the blood washing into the waves. 21 martyrs that day, you know, straight to heaven. In fact, I think one of them was a Muslim guy who was friends with the rest of them, and he professed his faith in Jesus that day and were saved. But the Protestant pastor wasn't so much focused on that. He said, look at the guy in the camel. He's the leader. He's the ringleader of the whole thing. He said, and he's just like St. Paul. Or St. Paul was just like him, to put it more precisely. Because St. Paul, before he was the great St. Paul, was the persecutor of the Christians. And he was doing much the same thing, maybe less graphic. But he was hauling Christians off to prison if they wouldn't renounce Christianity. He was having them executed until he met Christ and he walked from the darkness into the light. No. And here he is now preaching to the Ephesians who had once been in the darkness themselves of paganism. And the point is that the pastor was making is that nobody, absolutely nobody, is outside the reach of God. Nobody is in a darkness so dark that they can't be rescued by the grace of God. And not even that person at work that you can't stand, Not that relative that drives everybody crazy, not the black sheep in your family. Nobody is outside the grace of God. If God can do it for St. Paul, he can do it for us all. And Christian history is just filled with saints who did that 180 from being the most evil and despicable you could imagine to walking in the light of Christ. Next up is St. Augustine, of course, right? St. Augustine was a total libertine in the late 300s. He was addicted to all these pagan philosophies of dualism and living dissolute life, and his mother just prayed and prayed, St. Monica prayed, and he converted and became possibly the best, greatest theologian Christianity ever had in 2,000 years. And the other day I was reading the story of a priest who was a Satan worshiper in his early life and had a huge conversion and became a priest. And he gave up, you know, obviously he gave up Satan worship, right? But there's so many examples of that. And no one is outside the grace of God, right? If we embrace that Jesus is the light of the world. And that's what this story of the man born blind really hints at. No, is that we can go from total darkness into the light. And that's what Jesus does for this fellow. And who else could ever call himself the light of the world? Just think of all the leaders we have. Political, social, no. Influencers, no. People who are famous for this or that. All of them have huge flaws, one way or another. Even the big titans of tech industry, the future is dependent on so much, I guess. But all of them are very human. Only Christ is the light of the world. And this man born blind starts off, even with the apostles asking, who sinned? Him or his parents? And that was a common belief at the time, that if somebody was born with a birth defect, that it was somebody's fault, right? His parents sinned or he sinned in the womb somehow. But they were all thinking that way. Even the Pharisees thought that way. And it's kind of close to our concept of karma, right? You know, karma basically says, a little oversimplified, but you know, if you do bad stuff, it's going to come around. And you'll get yours sooner or later. You get what you deserve. And if you're good, and you do good, that'll come around too. And you'll be blessed. Well, it's kind of a seductive way of thinking, and I think unconsciously some of us pick that up. And, after the Mass last night, I said that. After the Mass, a guy stopped me. He goes, yeah, my girlfriend thinks like that. I don't know. I said, yeah, but it's anti-Christian. It's anti-Christian. Because Christianity is all about we get better than we deserve. We may be sinners, but God's grace comes to us and enables us to go from the darkness to the light. No, God's mercy reaches everywhere. And we don't get what we deserve. We get much better than we deserve because of the goodness of God. It's not this cosmic force of the universe that's somehow paying us back for things we've done wrong. No, that's not how we describe or understand evil. No. Evil is the absence of the good. Evil is the consequence of the fall. And we've all inherited some of that. And we're all wounded and weak. But the solution is the mercy and the goodness and the grace of God. And so Jesus says, nobody sinned that this man was born blind. He was born blind so that the power of God could be shown through him to a great miracle. And that reminds us too, you know, in our faith, even when there's suffering, setbacks, tragedies, horrors, innocent people suffering, that the good God, who's all-powerful and all-loving, has a plan in the midst of it all. He's got some way to bring good, even out of the worst situation. And he's bringing a blessing where there only seems to be curses. And so Jesus, one of those rare miracles where he makes kind of a little ceremony out of it, no? He spits on the ground and he makes the mud and he tells the guy, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now you remember the pool of Siloam was down at the base of the temple. And the people had to go there and do a ritual washing before they went up to the temple, because nothing unclean could go into the temple. But the thing about the mud, I don't know, it's probably a reference to the creation, right? Where God, in Jewish thinking, God made man from the slime of the earth, right? And they say that the pool of Siloam was fed by a spring, and the customary way of thinking is that spring came from the Garden of Eden. And so this miracle is a manifestation of a new creation. The original creation, where the man was born blind, was the brokenness of the sinful world, right? Where all sorts of unfortunate and tragic things happen. But with Christ, the light of the world, that creation is made new. And the washing is like baptism, right? It's a symbol of that baptism. And that's why we have our holy water at the door of the church, and we have the baptismal font here to remind us of our baptism, where our creation is made clean and whole again, and everything is possible. And it's the light of the world that does that for us. But still, we're always fighting against that darkness that threatens to come back and overwhelm us. And the Pharisees couldn't think in any other way. They just said, well, we're not blind, are we? And Jesus says to them, well, you say that you can see, so your sin remains. And that's a good reminder to us all that we've got to be honest with ourselves and with God about the darkness that still remains in us, right? So that God can heal it. He can renew it. He can help us walk into the fullness of the light of Christ. So the invitation to us all in this Lent is to walk into the light, to be children of the light, and let that light of Christ guide us.